This is Powering Michigan's Future with Ken Rogalski. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss an upcoming technology event called Manufacturing in America, being held later this month at Ford Field with Jay Feuer, Business Development Manager at Electromatic. And learn about an effort to support area veterans with Mike Conflitti of IBEW Local 58. And learn how property-assessed clean energy or PACE financing can help business owners upgrade their buildings with no out-of-pocket costs with Andy Levin, founder of Lean and Green Michigan. Stay tuned for Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogalski.
Welcome to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We kick off the show tonight with Jay Feuer, Business Development Manager at Electromatic. Jay, good to see you. How you doing?
I'm excellent, Ken. Thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. First, tell us of Electromatic. How'd you get involved with the Manufacturing of America event? And it's a big event, too.
Well, I've been with Electromatic going on 3 years now. Electromatic's been around since 1969. We're the leaders in the area here of bringing new technologies to the market. The Manufacturing in America event has been going on for about 10 years now. Every year it grows substantially. Last year we had around 2,500. This year we're looking at 2,700 to 3,000 attendees.
And that's a nice size growth. Tell us about Manufacturing America, the event. What do you guys do there? What do you see? What do you show off?
Well, we together, it's a co-sponsored event with Siemens and 50 to 100 of our other development partners that we distribute their products for. We bring the latest and greatest in industrial automation to LED lighting, controls, again, making machines, components, and people work better, quicker, faster, stronger, and more efficient.
So is this more of a selling event, or is this more of a, hey, look what's happening event? You'll never guess the new technology coming down the road.
That's exactly it. It's an open door event. You know, our theme is community, collaboration, and innovation. So we open the door to the community. We collaborate with people from all over. This really is truly a global event. We have people coming in from all over the world just to attend this event. And it's at a really cool place in Ford Field.
Well, you got that right. Can people just off the street come in and pay an admission price to get in?
There's no admission to get in.
None.
We just ask that everyone register for the event. Obviously, you want to be in touch with what we're doing, and if you want to just come out and see what we have to offer. But by all means, it's attend MIA.com.
Now, we keep hearing that technology is just growing faster than we can keep track of it. Is that still true in your business?
Oh, absolutely. By the second. You know, we look at the history of light, for instance. Look at LED lighting and how the technology advances by the second. Every day we're looking at changing pace and keeping pace and setting trends moving forward.
I mean, you go up and down streets in Detroit now, most of the streetlights they're replacing are LEDs. And explain an LED for a second. I never really fully understood that.
Well, LEDs, it stands for light emitting diode. And again, it's a new technology today, but it was really developed in the early 60s. And it's just like anything else, getting better, quicker, faster, stronger, and more efficient.
So somebody told me that an LED is basically nothing more than a transistor.
That's
correct.
Is that true? Yep. It's a light-emitting diode.
So it emits light, but it doesn't burn out like a regular light bulb?
Correct. And again, it's based on the components and materials that go into that manufacturing process.
So why is it that they use so much less energy, so much less electricity?
It doesn't take as much to drive like a fluorescent lamp, for example, or a metal halide. You know, you look at how the technologies have advanced over the years from magnetic now into electronic, and it doesn't take as much energy to push the electricity to spark that phosphorus.
So less resistance then.
Correct.
Oh, unbelievable. So what's important in the industry for professionals to attend an event like that? What's so important for them?
Really just to see kind of where the market's at and where we're going and how everything is evolving in such a rapid, quick pace. and be able to see it, touch it, and feel it in person as opposed to reading it on the internet.
Is there anything that you've seen in the past 6 months that has really just made you do a double take, that you can't believe this technology is evolving and growing so quickly?
Well, I think, you know, again, there's chip manufacturers out there. They make the chips, the LED chips. The efficacy in lumens per watt is just going substantially and rapidly. That just has a little bit of concern of mine, because to get it to run quicker and faster and stronger, you have to push it harder. So that's some things that we're looking into.
So when you say push it harder, does that mean you're asking, does it take more electricity?
You're pushing the current through the driver for the LED.
You know, you never really realize until you sit down and think about it, electricity powers just about everything in the United States and across the world. I mean, even an automobile still has a spark that makes it go. And computers, everything, this program is all electrical driven.
Absolutely. 80 to 90% of what we do is electrically driven.
Can you imagine if that ever went away?
It would be, I don't even know.
Don't even want to think about it. Again, the events for your big date coming up at Ford Field?
March 23rd and 24th at Ford Field.
And Jay, who should come to this kind of event at Ford Field? What kind of person should plan on showing up?
We invite everybody. There's so much to offer. We have, you know, over 100 technical seminars that they can attend, from everything from industrial automation to LED lighting 101 to how to fund all these great and wonderful things with PACE financing, or, you know, typical leasing, or you name it.
Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski.
Welcome to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We continue our conversation tonight with Jay Feuer, Business Development Manager of Electromatic. Jay, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Hey, we've been talking about manufacturing in America, the big event happening later this month at Ford Field. Why is Electromatic involved in this thing?
Again, it's our event to showcase what we do, what we're bringing to the market today, with our, you know, theme as being community, collaboration, and innovation. So we want to showcase everything that we have to offer and where the market's headed.
Will LED lights eventually replace all the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs over time?
Eventually. It's happening slowly but surely. And we're looking to be a big part of that.
When you buy an LED light, you kind of get sticker shock because they're so expensive. But do they really last that much longer than an old-fashioned incandescent light?
Absolutely. And the sticker shock is something that everyone gets. You know, it's like, you know, looking at buying a Cadillac. Everyone wants to buy a Cadillac till you see the sticker. But when you look at the long-term savings through innovation and maintenance reduction and longevity of a LED light compared to a fluorescent, we're looking at 5, 6, 10 times longer.
That much.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the other advancements in lighting and other technologies that are most interesting to you right now?
The biggest thing on the market right now is, you know, LED lighting is something, obviously, that's in the forefront of what we're looking at. But we're getting more into the controls aspect of it as well. Controlling LED lighting, monitoring the LED lighting, being able to show a customer real-time data of their facility where we can monitor the kilowatt hours used, but also the voltage and amperage that's being consumed.
See, this is something you couldn't do with an old-fashioned light bulb because it wasn't really hooked up to the grid, so to speak.
Exactly. And with wireless technologies and advances in that market, it's just phenomenal what we can achieve.
It's still amazing that almost with an iPhone now, you can sit and manage your electrical consumption, see what's going on, and even turn lights on, off, and dim from your cell phone.
Absolutely. You know, I've got that new app on my phone from DTE where I get to watch everything that's going on in my house, and they keep telling me that I'm the biggest energy hog, and I'm sure you get the same letter, but it's really not true. I've got the facts now.
Now, have you noticed savings in your monthly bill recently?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, we, you know, you know, through technology and dialing back and, you know, educating people on what consumption actually is. You know, I've got four children that I'm educating every day, along with my day-to-day business of educating people on consumption. And, you know, when you can eliminate that human responsibility and energy consumption, which is what we do with wireless technology or any technology for that matter, it has a huge impact.
I mean, with four kids running around the house, just shutting the lights off is a full-time job. Now you can do it in the palm of your hand.
Right. But I've got them pretty well programmed, so we don't have to make that big dive into the huge technology.
Sounds like a good dad. Jay, what should customers really know about LED lighting?
It is the present, and it is the future for as far as we can see. It is an evolving technology that just continually gets better and more efficient. The scalability of it, the color rendering. You know, you have the little candelabra bulbs now that look just like the antiquated ones that you put in your chandelier, and they're at, you know, one-tenth the usage.
So now we're starting to fold into usage all these LED lights. Have we noticed at the other end of the generation end that we're not generating as much electricity because we're using all these LED light bulbs?
Well, I think that's a whole nother show, Ken, to talk about power
generation. Just a simple yes or no or maybe.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, things are going to change.
So they do work then?
Yes.
So what types of energy reductions can a person save monthly or yearly if they start switching over all their light bulbs in their house to LEDs?
You can look at anywhere from 60 to 70%, and then you integrate controls, and it could be exponential at that point. You know, we did a recent car dealership where it was, with a complete redesign, it was a 65% savings. Then we implemented controls, and it's, again, exponential.
So what would an average car dealer spend on electricity?
Anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 a month.
And you could save them how much of that?
Not completely just of the electricity, strictly of the lighting
load. But just
loads.
For lighting?
The lighting load, 60 to 75%.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. And then again, adding on additional technologies and ensuring safety, we've developed occupancy sensors, so we dim fixtures down to 20% at night to ensure savings. But then as soon as anybody pulls on their lot,
boom,
the occupancy sensor trips, it turns the light on to 100%, but it also sends notification to the owner that someone's on his property.
Wow. That and more. Even in the grocery store, you go down the aisle and all the lights are turned off in the frozen food section. Somebody starts walking and boom, as far as you walk, the lights start flashing on.
Yep, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Technology's crazy.
So what is one of the common misconceptions about LED lighting?
It's too new. It's not where it needs to be. I think that over the past couple of years, it's really been on the fast track to get with today's needs, wants, and desires of customers, and, you know, both affordability and effectiveness of how it controls light or produces light.
Is an LED that reliable?
It is. And again, with the evolution of the technology, it's just getting more and more efficient as the days go by. We put our fixtures and our products through extensive third-party testing, and, you know, we've got instances where we're looking at, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 hour life expectancy.
Wow.
Now,
when you were replacing light bulbs in your house, once in a while you would get a bad one. You'd screw in a new bulb and it would go out just as fast as, you know, you could screw it in. Do you see this kind of thing going on with LEDs?
You know, like anything, you're going to have your quality control issues and things happen. But again, in working with local manufacturers like Electromatic, we're a phone call away and replacement parts are readily available.
Now, will LEDs be an important part of your upcoming event at Ford Field?
Absolutely. It's a big part of our event. We actually have our own West Atrium LED lounge where we're displaying all of our energy technologies, LED lighting, LED displays.
You know, just driving down the street, the LED street lights that I see seem to be much brighter than the old-fashioned incandescent lights.
At a fraction of the cost.
Why? I mean, why are they so bright?
The way that they can control the LED and the light output. You know, a typical metal halide fixture, a fluorescent fixture, they degrade. The more you turn them on and off, they diminish over time. Whereas an LED bulb has a 1% to 3% light loss factor.
That's it?
That's it.
So it doesn't really degrade as fast as the old-fashioned light bulbs
do? It doesn't degrade nearly as fast.
And the event's at Ford Field.
Correct.
March
23rd and 24th.
And tickets are available still?
Tickets are free. Register at attendmia.com.
Jay, Electromatic is a Michigan company?
Yes, sir. Since 1969, right in Farmington Hills, Michigan.
And how many people you got employed already?
It's growing kind of like the LED industry. I think last count it was over 220-something. Very diverse offering that we have. And again, since 1969, we're also a 100% employee-owned company.
Wow. So what are some of the jobs you would do? What are some things you look forward to doing with Electromatic?
We're growing at such a rapid pace in so many different directions. We're concentrating on the contractor market right now and helping them get out to their customers and be a bigger part of what Electromatic has to offer and again, take another vertical market out into the marketplace.
So would you go out with a contractor, help them sell and close the deal? Would you go out and prospect with a contractor?
Absolutely.
Or education?
Whatever it takes. And again, coming to our event on March 23rd and 24th, where it is community, collaboration, and innovation, we invite everybody to come out and see what we're all about, go to our technical seminars, see who we work with.
And we can go online to register for tickets?
Absolutely. Attendmia.com.
And you've got a co-sponsor for this event, too?
Yes. Siemens is one of our biggest channel partners that we have in the industry, and they're a big part of this event.
And they're into everything?
That just about, yes.
Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski, and tonight we're discussing supporting veterans' safe haven, and we say hello to Mike Conflitti. How you doing, Mike?
Very good, Ken. How you doing tonight, sir?
IBEW Local 58 member?
Yes, sir.
All right. Nice to see you. What is Safe Haven?
Well, Safe Haven is in Warren. It provides veteran transition housing through Volunteers of America organization. The facility is geared towards chronic homeless and disabled vets to make up 15% of the homeless population in Macomb County. Vets with severe disabilities are likely to be on the streets unless they have a good family member or a good lawyer. The facility houses 16 apartments and 18 beds. Each apartment has a kitchen, and group meals are also provided. The facility provides safe housing, which is safe and provides another layer of dignity and healing for the veteran. The Safe Haven began in 2014 and is focused on job placement, homeless prevention programs, and finding permanent housing for veterans. And I have a website here if you want to.
Sure.
It's www.voa.org.
You know, it's just so heartbreaking that here American veterans go out and fight for us, but yet when they come back to less than acceptable conditions.
Yeah, that's very true. That's why, as a member of Local 58, I never was in the military. I got in the trade at a young age, and I've been an electrician my whole life. But by doing this work for these veterans, it definitely makes the members that I know that feel good about helping them, because they did everything for their country. They gave their health, their youth, and a lot of them gave their lives. So it's just a little thing we can do. A lot of people always say, at Local 58, we go by our actions. We don't just say we're the...
Actions, not words.
Actions, not words, right? Yeah. So that's why we've been going out doing all this work for this veterans home. It's definitely been a very good cause.
IBEW Local 58 has been donating the labor, the materials to support the Safe Haven in Warren. Tell us about what you've been doing and how it helps the veterans.
Well, we've been doing some electrical work for them, of course. they had a pretty bad laundry room area where we put all new lighting in for them, and we've been going through and bringing up a bunch of code violations and things in the apartments.
So was this like a whole rewire job?
No, it's more like just a facelift. The basement area, we did rewire the whole place, but the other apartments, they're just putting in new light fixtures and anything else we can see to bring them up to code, just so they have a nice, safe place to live.
So what's it been like working on the project from your standpoint?
Well, it's been a very interesting community service project because you're working around the veterans, and you really feel for them when you see their, you just feel for them because, well, you don't know what they've been through, but it's definitely the different life than we lived.
Do they talk to you at all when you're there working?
A little bit. Most of them are pretty quiet. They talk to us, but most of them are pretty quiet. They keep to themselves.
Now, do you meet any of the veterans that live there? I mean, do you really, get to be buddies or just the...
No, we just met them. A few we remember by name, but most of them, like I said, they keep pretty much to themselves, and we're just trying to keep out of their way.
And make the place better for them.
Exactly.
When you see their background, you understand what they've been through, and now you're side by side with them, it's got to have an impact on you and your guys, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does, because, like I said, I never was in the military. I was an electrician my whole life, so I don't have that... I just feel that they've given so much, and that's just the least we can do to have them a safe place.
Yeah. There's an old saying, you got to give back after you've received so much through the years. Why is it important for you guys at IBEW Local 58 to give back to the veterans?
They give so much. They give their life. They give their youth. They give their health. And we can give back so much, go work in order to make their lives a little bit easier.
Yeah. Leave it better than when you found it.
Exactly.
So what are some of the other community service projects Local 58's been involved with across the Detroit area?
We've been involved with quite a few lately. We've been involved with Forgotten Harvest out in Fenton. That's a farm that grows, donates all their food to food banks throughout southeastern Michigan. I also pretty heavily with Habitat Detroit and Macomb County Habitat. We worked on the Clinton Thomas build. That's a veteran. We did a home for him last year. Also, there's Enchanted Makeovers in Taylor. That's a organization that helps out homeless female veterans, gets them into some schooling and teaches them different skills they need to have a good career in the working place. Also, we've done two. One of them is still going on right now. It's Autistic Playhouse in Sterling Heights. It's a gym for handicapped and autistic children, and also Guts Gym in Ferndale. We did that as a community service project. One of them that's really near and dear to us is it's called the Wobbly Kitchen. What it is, it's at Cass Park. We feed 200 to 300 homeless people every second and fourth Sunday of every month with all volunteers. It's a totally nonprofit event, and we cook a lot of the food first, and we bring it all out there, and it's definitely quite an event.
You said Wobbly Kitchen?
It's called Wobbly, yes.
Wobbly Kitchen?
Wobbly,
like Wobbly Wheels?
Getting labor history. Wobblies are one of the oldest labor organizations in the country.
Wobblies.
So it's the Wobblies of this era. I don't know if you're familiar with labor history, but they had bloody battles in the olden days. These Wobblies, they feed the homeless. That's what their goal is.
Still today,
they feed the homeless.
Safe Haven Project sounds like it's kind of near and dear to your heart. How can we find out more about this?
The best way to find out more about it is to go to that website, www.voa.org. That's where you can find out a little bit more about it. We're going to be going out there at least one more time to finish up on some little electrical projects we have.
There are so many questions from kids not wanting to, they don't know what they want to be when they grow up. They know they're good with their hands. They know they've got basic abilities. They're good at math. Are there opportunities for veterans in the electronics trade?
Oh, yes. There's huge opportunities. We have our Helmets to Hard Hat program, which has been going on for years. There's a lot of our, now they're older guys now, but they were young veterans, and they've been in our local for a long time. If they want any information about our apprenticeship school, here's the website is DetroitEITC.org. That's our apprenticeship school. Go on that website. You can find all the information you would need.
Now, Mike, when you were a kid and you started out, what got you excited about being in the electrical business?
Well, I always liked to build things when I was a kid, and that's one thing about being in the trade. You always, you build something and you see it. Now, after 37 years in the trade, I can drive around all these buildings, which I always do with my daughters, and point out the jobs I built, of course, single-handedly, I tell them. and they laugh, you know. So,
when you were growing up in the business, was it hard to basically get the electrical outlay done in your head?
No, you have to be good at math. If you're good at math, everything falls into place, because math is the key to all kinds of things. You have to be fairly good at math.
So why does math help you with electricity?
A lot of things, you take measurements. A lot of people can't even read a ruler anymore, which is surprising. You know, they can't do fractions, and that's like, well, it's like the basic thing.
It was surprising to my daughter. I said, it's counterclockwise. She goes, counterclockwise? I said, yeah, you know, the hands go left to right. She goes, hands? What kind of? She, Dad, I read digital. Everything, and I never thought of that. So, Mike, how are you involved in Safe Haven? How many people are involved? How big of a project is this? How all-encompassing is it for you?
Well, we've had apprentices come out, retirees, and our community service people come out. We've had about 20 people show up in the project so far. We've totally redid the whole entire laundry room area, brought that all up to code. There was many violations, and we put new lighting in so they can see a lot better, of course. And then also, there's a lot of old electrical panels. This building was built, I'd say, in the 50s, so they used some pretty old electrical panels, which are right now we're starting to change them out one at a time. Also, we did work in the apartments. They're bringing them up to code, mostly just new receptacles, new lighting. We've been working on that. That's been going pretty well. The other big thing is the stairwell lighting. There's no battery backup lights in the stairwells, which we thought that was a big safety thing. We've seen that, because if power goes out, they wouldn't be able to see, and that would, people with post-stress syndrome, they can be freaked out, I guess, for something like
even
that.
Even people without post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Exactly, in the dark, yeah.
And Mike, give us that web address once again, please.
Okay, our web address for the Vets for the Trade School is DetroitEITC.org.
Michael Flitty from Local 58 IBEW here in Detroit, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight we've been talking about the integration of technology in buildings, and now we discuss another way on how they may help you pay for it. And we welcome tonight Andy Levin, the president and founder of Lean and Green Michigan, who oversees the Michigan Property Assessed Clean Energy, or PACE, financing program. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Ken?
We're doing pretty darn good. Detroit's
right.
on the rebound, and we're all benefiting from it. What is PACE, and what can it do for the average property owner?
PACE is a way that a local government can let any business or private nonprofit retrofit their building to be more energy efficient, water efficient, or add renewable energy, and do it in a way where the whole thing is financed and it is cash flow positive, so it helps their bottom line. And essentially what it is the local government says, okay, in your own self-interest, Mr. Owner of a shopping mall or Ms. Owner of a factory, you can put a property tax special assessment on your property. We'll put it on as your county or your city or your township. And you can run the financing through that, and then the lender, as a beneficiary of a tax lien, will lend that property owner money at a competitive fixed interest rate for up to 20 years. So, Ken, it's really about solving the problem that it takes a while to pay back these investments, even if they are going to save you a lot of money on your energy bills. And, you know, businesses can't wait around 8 or 10 years for something to break even. So this totally solves that problem. That's what it's about.
Is it tough to get the government to fill out all the forms to get this thing rolling?
You know, we do it for them. We decided that's really what Lean and Green Michigan is about. We decided that local government's got enough headaches. They've got enough things they need to do. We decided to create one statewide program that's free to all Michigan local governments, all the counties, cities, and townships. They just have to pass a resolution saying they're creating a PACE district by joining the Lean and Green Michigan program. And then we run it for them, and we finance it out of little administrative fee on each project. So there's no taxpayer money involved ever. There's no taxpayer money going into financing the projects. But the government role is crucial because it's that property tax mechanism that allows the private parties to make this deal work for everybody.
Absolutely. So what kind of projects can be financed by PACE to get this kind of technology in their buildings?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask, because just I was thinking about that. The projects we closed last month in January really show the breadth of this, the huge potential of it. In 1 week, we helped a small apartment building in Greenville, Michigan, in Montcalm County, do a project to make it much more efficient. They put boilers, very efficient boilers in there, upgraded their boilers, mechanical controls. They did LED lighting inside and outside. They put a small solar system on the roof. They did low-flow water fixtures and Energy Star appliances throughout the apartment building. And they are, you know, going to save a huge amount of money and a huge amount of energy, 40% reduction in electricity use.
Wow.
40% reduction in natural gas use also, and 29% reduction in water use. So there's a small apartment building on the west side of the state, and then 2 days later we closed the project, or actually 2 days earlier, it was the other way around, at one of the big beer distributors in Metro Detroit, Powers Distributing in Orion Township. And they did a $480,000 project when it was all said and done. They had a 95-kilowatt solar system on the roof of their recycling facility and a big LED lighting install. And they are cutting out 360,000 kilowatts of traditional electricity. It's the equivalent of, they're basically like eliminating burning 267,000 pounds of coal every year.
That is a huge savings.
Huge savings. It's they're cutting their electricity bill $40,000 a year. So, you know, I mean, and this is the kind of thing you can do. And really, you're talking about any business and any nonprofit. The issue is, do you spend enough on electricity, natural gas, and water, you know, or propane, I suppose, whatever your fuels are, you got to spend to save, right?
Right.
And we say typically if a business spends $60,000 a year or more in electricity, gas, or other utilities, they probably have enough of a spend to look at a PACE project. So it really hits a lot of small businesses and certainly any medium and larger business.
But if you're a beer distributor and you're spending $480,000, that's a significant savings. It certainly would be worth your while.
Yes, yes. Well, that, and what's interesting there is, the Gary Thompson, the guy who runs that business for the Powers family, as soon as he heard about this, he's the one who said to us, we got to get Orion Township to join this program. And Chris Barnett, the township supervisor, just immediately saw it. And so they passed it, and in less than a few weeks after that, we'd closed this project. And the thing is, Ken, they'd already done this work. This was a refinancing. Michigan statute allows you to refinance anything that you already just did that you could, you know, finance if you're going to do it tomorrow. So that company did it to get the cash back to do more efficiency and renewable work.
And save money in the process on the financing.
Yeah.
So where is PACE available right now in the state of Michigan?
Well, we so far have a total of 25 local governments. Really, from end to end of this state, we've got 18 counties and 7 cities and townships. And you're talking, you know, counties in the Upper Peninsula, 3 counties already in the Upper Peninsula, right down to northwestern Lower Peninsula, the Thumb, southwest side of the state, and throughout Metro Detroit. I mean, there's 7 cities and townships in Oakland County that have joined, and all of Macomb, Wayne, and Washtenaw are in the program. So,
It's growing.
You know, most of your listeners, you know, if they've got a business, or even if they're on the board of their church, you know, or a private school. I mean, really, a nonprofit may spend a lot on energy too, and can use this program.
So potentially, a church could even save money on this.
Yep. I mean, you know, they have to. It'd probably be a bigger one because you have to. Again, you have to spend enough in
right. You
got
to spend more to save more
to justify it. But yep, they are absolutely free to use it.
What PACE projects, big PACE projects, have happened here in Michigan so far?
Well, the Powers Distributing is the biggest, along with another big one to mention is actually the headquarters of the two agencies of the state that are most focused on energy policy, the governor's Michigan Agency for Energy and then the Michigan Public Service Commission. They jointly took over an office building. It's leased by the state, Ken, so it's all used for a state office, but it's a private building. And so the tenants went to the landlord, a private real estate investor from Texas, and said, "Hey, we are our job for the state of Michigan is to help on energy policy. We can't have a building that is inefficient and has no renewables.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind using this PACE financing, and we'll improve your building, and we'll make the PACE payments because we are the ones who will reap the savings." I mean, that's the thing. Think how many kinds of buildings there are in business where the tenant really pays the utility bills.
And what landlord wouldn't want to save money there?
And this guy from I'm not gonna embarrass myself on WJR mimicking his accent. He's a wonderful guy from Texas, but when he heard about all this and he said, "Well, basically, you're saying that you're going to pay to upgrade my building." And he said, "Well, why wouldn't I do that?" And he did it. So that was another about $500,000 project. And so, I think we will announce a project that's just about $1 million in the next several weeks here.
Well, we'll have to have you back to talk us about tell us about that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Quickly, before we run out of time, where can we go for information?
Well, the best place is certainly the Lean and Green Michigan website, which is LeanandGreenMI.com, LeanandGreenMI.com. And that, you can apply for financing there. You can see videos about projects. You can see case studies of all these projects. You can connect with contractors and lenders. And so it's a great source of information.
Well, thanks, Andy, and thanks to our other guests tonight, Jay Feuer, Business Development Manager from Electromatic, and Mike Conflitti with IBEW Local 58's Community Outreach Center. This has been Powering Michigan's Future, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58 and the National Electrical Contractors Association on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Ken Burgulski. Thanks for joining us.